been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday, April 29th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, here's the situation. The Dow opened a lot higher, and so did the NASDAQ. And they hit those resistance levels, and they are fading right now. They're still up, but those technical resistance levels, I mean, they mean something. And there's a lot of people watching them, and they start selling at those resistance levels. So let's see where we are right now. The Dow's up 90 points right now, but here's the number, 33,900. I've been saying that that 34,000 level is a pretty strong ceiling right now on the Dow. The NASDAQ ceiling is at 14,100. It went above that a little bit this morning, and now it's faded. It's lost about two-thirds of its gain here. It's still up 52, however. We'll take it. I've seen a big fade in Apple after a pretty good open, and that probably is a lot of that fade here. NASDAQ up 53 right now. Russell 2000 small caps up 9 points to 2313. The S&P, which is struggling with 4200, it's just above that today, but it's all about the close. Now, these are just technical levels, which is just part of that three-legged stool that I stand on, evaluation, momentum, technical levels. Crude oil's got a lift under it, and the energy stocks, I'm seeing a lot of really good earnings reports out there. I think maybe the crude oil stocks are in for a rally here. They've already started to do that. Now it's a matter of finding the best ones. We've got the 10-year moving higher, 1.69. I'll talk about inflation today. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, 24 years as a professional money manager, former analyst on Wall Street, covering a handful of stocks back then. But I learned a little bit about valuations, learned a little bit about momentum. I learned a little bit about technical analysis along the way. I've probably looked at more charts than 99% of the people in my industry over the last 24 years. And I've also seen a lot of cycles in the market. I've seen the worst of cycles. I've seen the best of cycles. I've seen the biggest bubbles of all time, and I've seen, in fact, several of those. And I've seen sector rotation, which happens from time to time in the market. You know, when I lived on the Pacific coast, every once in a while, the cold water at the bottom of the ocean would come up and replace the warm water at the top. It just is a thing that happens, and it's pretty much what has happened here in the market in 2021. So you can try to stay with that warm water from last year, but boy, it's not working. It's just not working. I continue to see these high PE, high growth stocks. Even when they beat earnings, they sell off. Okay? And conversely, I see the low price to sales, low forward PE, low PEG ratio stocks come in and beat earnings, and they're rewarded. So, you know, I'm just an observer. I'm in the market every day, and I report to you what I observe. All right, well, here's what we got going on here today. We got quite a bit, a lot about the Fed, a lot about inflation, and we have earnings reports galore. Yesterday and today are going to be the two biggest days of this current earnings season. So let's have at it, all right? We had the Fed yesterday. I thought the report was today, but it's Wednesday. The meetings are always Tuesday and Wednesday. He reports on Wednesday. The monetary policy, as stated by Jerome Powell, will continue to provide powerful support to the economy until the recovery is complete. Well, he is walking a tightrope there, because by keeping interest rates where they are and the economy kicking in, you know, the GDP comes in, I think, 6.6, 6.5, the unemployment numbers going down. That is inflationary in nature, but keeping those interest rates low is also inflationary in nature. Now, he did comment on this yesterday. Did Jerome Powell. He said that inflation expectations before the pandemic hit were at the low end of a range consistent with the Fed's 2% inflation target. That's absolutely correct. But now inflation expectations have moved up to where they are at, were at in about 2008 or 2014. They're now at levels pretty close to the mandate consistent, he said. And he says that there's some inflation bottlenecks that may take a while to resolve. Well, in a minute here, I'm going to talk about what the CEOs are saying. Several CEOs on their calls, their earnings calls, have commented on what they see in inflation. Okay, Jerome Powell, you know, he's kind of got to tamp down the inflation fears a little bit. Because they're holding on to a very low interest rate in a rising commodity price environment. And he's got to defend his position and saying, I don't think it's a problem. But we'll take a look here in a minute. I've got several CEOs. Now, these people have boots on the ground, wingtips on the ground, high heels on the ground, whatever the case may be, penny loafers on the ground. They are on the front lines of the economy. And I've always found that it's better to listen to them on certain issues than it is to listen to the Fed. So we'll hear what they have to say here in a moment. GDP rises. It was 6.5 was the estimate. But, of course, we're coming out of a pandemic, so the comparison's quite easy. With the previous quarter, which was still pretty much impacted, you know, quite a bit. A lot of shutdowns still around America. The jobless claims come in, yeah, you know, about where expected, 553K. We're moving in the right direction. That's down from 750K or so. In fact, there's a labor shortage around here. They can't get enough help. They're paying cash bonuses to come to work at a lot of these restaurants. Well, a lot of restaurant workers had to leave the business and learn new trades and move on because of the big shutdown for over a year. And now the restaurants are really hurting, trying to get enough help. They can't even find a sous chef, you know. Maybe I ought to. I'm pretty good at cooking and making sauces and whatnot. Maybe I could moonlight in the evening. Oil marches to a six-week high. Okay, I want to bring this to your attention. There is some action in the oil pits. Crude oil futures climbed to their highest finish in 6 weeks. Now, I learn a whole lot more by looking at the individual stocks that make up the oil sector. And, you know, I saw Hess return to profitability. I saw Continental Resources return to profitability. I saw Cimarex Energy return to profitability, Callon Petroleum, and several others. And with this commodity move in the market right now, there may be some room to run. Devon Energy, another one, Apache, Fang, not the Fang stocks, but Diamondback Energy, the symbol is Fang. EOG Resources, these are all worth a look right now. They're trading at low price-to-sales ratios, and some of them meet my PEG ratio requirements at the current time. The real question is the five-year growth rates going forward. That's very hard to predict, very hard to predict. But I do think that oil production is kind of behind the curve of demand coming back. And this may help some of this these oil stocks, but you got to be really selective there. Now, when we come back, Stanley Black and Decker is raising prices, and they had something to say on inflation. And so did the CEOs of Procter & Gamble, Honeywell, Kimberly-Clark, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Boston Beer, Celanese, Crown Holdings, Steel Dynamics, Mattel, Whirlpool, Snap-on Tools, Dover, Sunoco, and Colgate-Palmolive. Okay? You got Jerome Powell over here saying one thing. Let's see what these folks have to say about the inflationary environment out there right now, what they think of it. And, of course, that should influence quite a bit as to where you're parking your money these days. This is Bill Gunnarsson, parked right here for today's show. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Inflation is not a good thing. And you've got Jerome Powell, Fed chairman, saying one thing, and also Janet Yellen. And you've got the CEOs across pretty much every industry of America saying another thing. Stanley Black & Decker raises prices. Here's what the companies are saying on inflation. Stanley Black & Decker will raise prices as part of its plan to counter higher cost. In a slide entitled Commodity Inflation Update, it says steel, resin, base metals, electrical components, and batteries are pushing incremental inflation for 2021 up by $160 million in 1 year versus January guidance. This is their cost of goods. The company is initiating price increases and measures to boost productivity to benefit second half 2021 and carry on over into 2022. Commodity inflation will hit 2021 EPS by 80 cents. That's quite a bit, but the company still raised the midpoint of full-year EPS guidance. Well, the company's doing well on the top-end sales, but on the cost of goods, they definitely see inflation, and they're pointing to several areas of the market. And basically, these are a lot of the stocks I'm invested in, resin, base materials, things like that. What else did they say here? Let's see. Commodity price of steel, resin, base metals, electrical components, and batteries. Okay, that's one witness. In the mouth of two witnesses, even better. Procter & Gamble, the commodity challenges we face next year will obviously be larger than last year. Honeywell, inflation is taking hold. There's no doubt about it. We knew it. We see it. Kimberly Clark reports a sharp rise in input cost. Coca-Cola, we're closely monitoring upward pressure in such inputs such as high fructose corn syrup. Okay, I've been talking about corn prices. Metals and other packaging materials. Pepsi, there is certainly higher input in inflation, notably in terms of agricultural and packaging. Boston Beer, the input costs are going up because the phase is still coming into our cost of materials and ingredients and packaging materials. Okay, we'll look into some packaging stocks, all right? Celanese, which is a chemical company. Here's what their CEO said. I mean, we certainly are feeling the inflationary factor. Crown Holdings. Now, there's a packaging company for you. They make most of the corks and bottle caps and seals on a lot of your food products. They said aluminum in North America at around $1.28 a pound versus 75 cents last year at this time. Steel Dynamics. Higher average selling values were offset by significantly higher input cost. Mattel, despite the cost inflation we're seeing, and it's having an impact on our gross margin. Whirlpool, our actions will offset the impact of global supply constraint and rising input cost. Snap-on, we've got material inflation. That means material. This isn't just small, it's material in these numbers. GATX, the increased price of steel is increasing the cost of a car across the board. Dover, I get that the Fed doesn't want to recognize inflation, but there is inflation. That's the Dover CEO. Sunoco Products, our industrial segment was hit the hardest with price-cost challenges due to higher input costs. And the last two, Colgate-Palmolive and Clorox, in totally different industries, report earnings this Friday and are also on inflation watch. Well, we're in a very inflationary environment. You have rising interest rates. You have a steep yield curve. You behind the curve on production during the pandemic, and now the demand has come back. And all of the spending, I mean, we're up to $6 trillion now in new packages that are being put forth to the American public. That lowers the value of your dollar. And when the dollar goes down, inflation goes up. So we definitely have to invest with the thought in mind, I need to do a little hedging on my portfolio to take away the inflation risk. Bitcoin ETF. Well, we're still waiting from the SEC. They are delaying the VanEck Bitcoin ETF. Now, if they have concerns about a Bitcoin ETF, that's the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, maybe individual investors should have some concerns. There have been several people apply for a Bitcoin ETF. None have been approved yet. The only one that comes close is the GBTC, which is a Bitcoin trust. So still waiting. Don't know if the SEC will approve it, but they just keep putting it off. Fidelity Investments is hoping to launch its own ETF called the Wise Origin Bitcoin Trust. Amazon, big move yesterday. It topped 3,500. They report tonight. Last night it was Facebook, it was Apple, several others. Tonight it's Amazon. Amazon is bumping right up against 3,500. That's a big resistance level for Amazon. Big, major technical resistance. It's at 3,482. They will report after the close tonight. They expected to report bumper earnings. Of course, there's been a rumored stock split. That's coming from Charlie Gasparino, who I have not found to be too reliable over the years with scoops that he supposedly had. We'll see. I'm giving Charlie a chance. And if it stock does split, that would then make it eligible to go into the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which I think it belongs there. I mean, is there a bigger, more dominant company in America today than Amazon? Okay, I was talking about a lot of these oil stocks all of a sudden turning to profitability. Hess swings to a strong Q1 profit on surging oil prices and demand. And I saw several others, including, we had recently had earnings from few that we own. EOG had a very good earnings report. Continental Resources had a very good earnings report. Cimarex Energy had a very good earnings report. Many of these companies are returning to profitability. Now remember, it wasn't that long ago, just over a year, that oil prices went negative. And the oil stocks were getting crushed. Well, that was then. This is now. It's a different ballgame in 2021. We'll be right back. welcome back to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, look at that. What happened to the market? All the air, like a helium balloon, just was at the ceiling a minute ago. Now it's sagging almost to the floor. The Dow up just 22 points right now, 33,843. We had really a buoyant session before the market opened this morning. That doesn't count, though, okay? That's like preseason. Now we're in the hours of the market that count. It looks like the Dow is getting ready to go negative, and the NASDAQ goes negative now, down 9 points. Well, my analysis of that situation is you've ran into technical resistance on both the Dow, the NASDAQ, S&P, and they're all backing off. So is the Russell 2000 now. They don't have the oomph or the helium to get through that technical resistance. And, of course, you've got very high valuation on the overall market. That's why you've got to bend your portfolio towards, you know, the value stocks in this environment. That's what's working here in 2021. And you've got to take into account an inflationary environment. The Fed may be jawboning it down, saying, you know, we don't see anything. But I just read CEOs' comments from all walks of life about every different sector in the market. They're all seeing inflation. Okay, well, this is a huge week for earnings. Huge. Man, I had to get up an extra hour early this morning just to go through all of the earnings from yesterday and this morning. Another thing you might not realize, this chip shortage, it's pretty big. The chip shortage is not just impacting the auto industry. I did not know this until this morning, but you've got the solar industry. Enphase, which really sold off yesterday, they reported better than forecast Q1 earnings, but they issued downward guidance due to the semiconductor shortage that are worse than anticipated. Okay, I've been wondering why. You know, the solar stocks had a really nice run there in January and February. Anything green energy, hydrogen, solar, wind, you name it. If it made fuel, if it made energy, it was roaring, especially renewable energy. And now all of these stocks have just really had all the wind taken out of their sails, and they've sold off considerably. Well, I didn't realize that they're facing issues with the semiconductor, the chip shortage. Okay, well, we've had all of the FANG stocks now. And when Amazon reports tonight, we'll have all of the FANG stocks in the books. To me, the two best, well, one of the best earnings reports was from Google. And I went over Google yesterday. You know, it's just, it's out there as it relates to its valuation ratios. And for that reason, I'm just going to avoid it. You've got a price-to-sales ratio of 8.7, which, in normal times, you know, that's not bad, I guess, for a tech stock like that, a dominant tech stock. But this is a market that's really looking at price to sales and PEG ratios. Google's PEG ratio was 1.44. I'm trying to keep it closer to 1. Now, Google is ranked number 2 overall in my app, but you've got to kind of close one eye to the high valuation, which matters this year, and buy it, you know, mostly on the momentum. So, you know, even that ranking steers me in the right direction to look at stocks, but I still have to make that final determination. I still look at the price to sales, the 5-year price target, the chart, obviously, the PEG ratio, and I just find that a little bit unpalatable here in this current market environment. Caterpillar beats by 93 cents. They beat on revenue. It'll be interesting to hear what they have to say about inflation. Now, Caterpillar is one of the reasons why the Dow has now gone negative. It's down 6 points. Caterpillar is down 3.5% today. Caterpillar down 3.5%. But business has been very good for Caterpillar. Let's see. Okay, let's take a high PE stock. Now, here's a good example of a... How about it, normally? Okay, you hear a report like this, all right? This company beats earnings by 17 cents, and they beat on revenue. Normally. Now, in a very healthy, momentum-driven market, this stock should respond quite favorably. But ServiceNow, a stock that I used to own, one of the leading cloud stocks, along with Salesforce, Workday, several others, I backed out of those stocks back in February when the market started to rotate out of high PE into low PE stocks. So let's just check in, okay? Now is the symbol. Price to sales, 24. That is extremely high. I'm trying to keep it between 1 and 3. Its forward PE ratio is 80. Its growth rate is 28, meaning its PEG ratio is 2.9. I'm trying to keep it as close to 1 as possible. So here you have a company that reports good earnings, beat on both top and bottom, and the stock is down $40 per share, or 7.2%. Now, the reason I use ServiceNow as an example, this is a pattern that I've witnessed throughout this earnings season. Okay, we'll be more than halfway through the earnings season after by Friday. These high PE stocks, high price to sales, high PEG ratio stocks, it doesn't matter if they beat earnings. Doesn't seem like it. These stocks are being punished. And on the other hand, I'm seeing low PE, low price to sales stocks beat earnings, and they're being rewarded. Keep that in mind. You want to be rewarded? You want to be punished? Teladoc. Well, there's another one that I sold off. I had a big profit in Teladoc, and I sold it in February. That was the right move to make. Teladoc is down 8.2%. That's a totally breaking down chart. Now, another reason I bring these stocks up, these are the favorites of the momentum crowd. They haven't backed off from buying these stocks. This is one of the big holdings at ARK Investments, Teladoc, and many others that I have named here. So they seem to not care, you know. Look, I care about valuation. These high PE stocks are not the place to be in 2021. You do what you want to do, but I'm just telling you my observations. You know, we've gone through several cycles in the market of growth. The biggest growth stock cycle I saw that I witnessed was 1999 and early 2000. The second biggest growth cycle in momentum and growth stocks was really late last year and early this year. It almost reached, maybe it did, the craziness of the year 2000. If you add in all the SPACs and the Bitcoin stocks and other companies that are far from earnings or sales, now everything has cycled. Now we're in a value phase of the market. We've gone through many phases like this over the last 24 years. Okay, let's do Apple real quickly. Apple reported their earnings beat. They beat on the top line, the bottom line. All the wind has come out of the sails of Apple. It's just barely up right now. Let's just check in real quickly on Apple's price to sales, PEG ratio. It matters this year. Their price to sales is 7.6. I like to keep it 1 to 3. Their forward PE is 28. That's double their growth rate, meaning the PEG ratio is almost 2. I'm telling you, these high PE, high price to sale stocks are being punished. They're not being rewarded. even though Apple beat by 42 cents and they beat on revenue, it was up in the after hours. I guess the valuation reality has sobered investors up this morning, and the stock is just barely even right now, barely ahead right now. All right, we'll be back with our featured stock of the day. It's got to meet all those tough criteria. That's a tall order. We'll see if we can do it. This is Bill Gunderson. Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, if you're in bond funds, if you're in momentum stocks, if you're in ETFs that are bond-oriented, if they're high-growth-oriented, if they're, things like frontier ETF out there on the frontier or... some of the other words are used, transitional type stocks, transformational types, innovation, space and exploration. These are not the places to be. You have extreme risk in those areas of the market. Well, the market has given up all its gains here. We're down, we're up 1 point now on the Dow. S&P's up 9. It's hanging in there. NASDAQ has gone negative now by 16. Russell 2K. Down 10 right now. All right. Well, you know what? The formula right now is low. Well, number one, right sector, being in the right sector. This is a totally different. The sectors that are leading the market this year, I went through them yesterday. Go back and listen to yesterday's show. You have to be in the right valuation area of the market. Price to sales, which I haven't talked that much about in recent years, has not really been an issue. But when value becomes an issue, price to sales rises very high in the list of criteria. Forward PE, which we haven't talked a lot about in recent years, but now it really, really matters. PEG ratio I talk about quite a bit, but I've been way more lenient with PEG ratios over the last few years than I am being this year. And, of course, strong stock charts. The worst stock charts in the entire market are these former momentum high flyers. Let me just pull up one. Zoom, ZM. That's a horrible stock. It's dead in the water, okay? Let me pull up one more. Peloton. Peloton, that's horrible. Anyways, all right, so... I know those are exciting stocks. They're much more exciting than a furniture stock, right? A store that sells furniture? Well, you know what? It's one of the hottest stocks in the entire market. It's a very small company. It's a microcap. We own it in our emerging growth portfolio. Company headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia. Operates 120 specialty residential furniture stores in 16 states in the southern and Midwest region. I know we have one here in the Charleston area. Haverty Furniture, H-A-V-E-R-T-Y. The symbol, H-V-T. The market cap, about $900 million. Just short of a billion, okay? Here we've got all these trillion-dollar-plus companies, and here's one that's not even quite 1 billion. So you're at the other end of the scale here, and that's why we own this one, a 4% overall position. That's been my standard position size for many, many years. Once in a while, I'll make an exception, but that's pretty much it. So in a fully invested portfolio, we would own 25 stocks when fully invested. For me, that's the sweet spot. You can be too diversified and you can be too concentrated. I lean towards being concentrated, to be honest with you. Most ETFs and mutual funds own over 100 different positions. And for me, you're too watered down with that kind of a allocation. Well, anyways, let's look at Havarti. Not Havarti. That's a cheese. Nice cheese. Good on sourdough. Melted, you know, not bad. Homemade sourdough, preferably. Havarti is a price to sales 1.05. Okay, so it's at the low end of my requirements. Price to cash flow, 5. That's extremely low. Price to its forward PE ratio, 11.9. The market's about 23 right now. Growth rate, 13.2%, meaning the growth rate is greater than the forward PE, meaning the PEG ratio comes in at less than 1. Now, the stock has had a massive move in the last couple of days. It's not as undervalued as it was, but it checks all the boxes from the ratios, the valuation ratios that are so critical in 2021. From the momentum standpoint, it has a momentum grade of A+. Yeah, check out the momentum grade. Let's look at Zoom Video. Zoom Video is momentum grade. Well, it's on a scale of 1 to 99. Zoom is a 46, which is not very good. That's like a D-. Haverty is a 96 on a scale of 1 to 99. I think I proved my point just about every single day. When I talk about boring stocks and boring industries with very exciting relative strength numbers and stock charts, it's a totally different market from the one we had last year. So we'll make Haverty Furniture, HVT, this exciting stock. You might want to go look for a new, ottoman, maybe you need a new sleeper sofa for the family room. When cousin Joe comes to visit. Anyways, Havarti Furniture, HVT, featured stock of the day. All right, well, we've been busy lately. I got new money coming in all the time that I'm putting to work. I don't throw it all in all at once unless the market's doing very, very well. I try to be very methodical in my methodology of what I do as a money manager. So you can have me managing your money along with my team. You can talk to one of our advisors. We'll have a whole bunch more advisors here real soon. We're getting close to our closing day with Southport Capital. Maybe by early next week we'll be able to announce all the offices that we now have across America. Well, in the meantime, we do Zoom appointments all the time, telephone appointments. Just call us, give us a call. Let us do a risk assessment of your portfolio right now. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. I'm working on the newsletter today while I manage money. You might want to get my insights as to what I am seeing in this market of 2021. You can go to my website, GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.